You know, last week I said, Lord willing, next week we'll resume our studies in the book of Matthew. And I was glad I said Lord willing, because otherwise I think I'd be breaking a promise today. You can tell if you look in the bulletin, we're obviously not going back into Matthew this evening. And instead we're going to be looking at Psalm 91 instead. Very precious psalm. I think one of the most precious, in my opinion, of all the Psalms in the Psalter. So let's turn our Bibles there to Psalm 91 this evening. Here in Psalm 91, we'll be looking at all 16 verses. So let's read now God's Word and hear it with care and attention as the very Word of our Lord. Psalm 91 and verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Lord, or even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Here ends the reading of God's holy and perfect word. Well, as was brought up in our prayer time this evening, we are well aware of the fact that Ebola is wreaking havoc in Western Africa today. And this recent outbreak, which started back in December of last year, is said to be the most widespread epidemic of the virus. And of course, the reason it's in the news is because it is a very deadly virus. Reports show that since last December, roughly 5,000 people in West Africa have died as a result of Ebola. And so what we're seeing now, and you can understand why this would be the case, is that many West Africans are trying to leave their home countries and fleeing to get to other parts of Africa. And so, for instance, there's a movement going on right now where West Africans are actually trying to make it down to South Africa, right? The exact opposite end of the continent. And you understand why, because as of today, there's no Ebola down in South Africa, just as there is in West Africa. And so these people who are living in Ebola-stricken countries where the possibility of it striking in their own lives is a very real one at any minute are running and they are looking for that place of safety from it. And you know, as we look at Psalm 91, we see a lot of similarities between what's going on in West Africa today and what's going on in our lives on a daily basis as we live here in this fallen world. Because just like the people in West Africa, our lives are also full of danger. They're full of danger from sicknesses, yes, but also from a whole host of other things. And so we also need a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place where we can be at peace and calm in the midst of the danger. And as we are reminded from the beginning to the end of Psalm 91, as believers, we have that place of safety, and it is the Lord Himself in Jesus Christ. And since He is our refuge, we need to find our safety, not in anywhere else, but we need to find our safety in the Lord, who is our rock and our refuge. And so the main point we'll see as we look at this psalm tonight is that as you live in this dangerous world, find your safety in the Lord. As you live in this dangerous world, find your safety in the Lord. Boys and girls, if you want to draw a picture tonight, you know, I don't know if you were paying attention as we were reading. I assume you were, but there are some interesting pictures brought up in the psalm. It talks about how, you know, a mother bird protecting her babies under her wings. And there's also a picture of the soldier with the shield who's protecting himself. And those are all images teaching us how God protects us as His people. So maybe you could pick out one of those images from the psalm and you could draw a picture of that this evening. Well, as you can see in our outline, our first point tonight is that as you live in this dangerous world, you need a place of safety. You need a place of safety. If you look throughout the psalm, the obvious implication is this very point, that we need a refuge in this world because, as the psalmist tells us, we live in a dangerous world. So look with me briefly through the psalm. In verse 3, there is the snare of the fowler and the perilous pestilence. Verse 5, there are the terrors by night and the arrows that fly by day. And again, the pestilence that walks in the darkness and the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Verse 10, evil is spoken of as well, again, of this plague of destruction. Then in verses 12 and 13, we see that there are stones to avoid stumbling over and lions and snakes to be protected from. Now, all of this is figurative language. Bird traps are not necessarily to be our greatest concern here. That's not the point. But the point is clear to see, isn't it? We live in a dangerous world where people can suffer and die, where enemies can attack, and where sickness can strike, and where jobs and homes can be lost, and where accidents can happen, and we could go on and on and on. And as the psalmist tells us, we live in a world where this threat of danger, it is constant. And notice he says in verses 5 and 6, it is present both day and night. There's no escaping the possibility of the dangers coming to fruition in our lives. We could be the ones with cancer. We could be the ones in the car accident. And on top of that, the dangers could come to us at any moment. This is where I think the snare of the fowler is a helpful picture, right? Just as the bird trapper gets the bird before he realizes it, so too these dangers could break into our lives completely unexpected. This week, I had an early morning meeting, so right after our family had breakfast, I left the house and I went to the meeting, and everything seemed to be fine. It was a good day. I got back an hour later, and all of a sudden, one of my kids is sick, and quite sick. Now, don't worry, he's fine now. But I was shocked, though, because it was just an hour later where we were sitting at the table, scarfing down our breakfast, happy that it was a new day, and then yet, just an hour later, he's down for the count. And so it is that this could be the case for any of these various dangers that we face. And just because you're healthy one day does not mean that you will be healthy the next day. And just because there's money in your bank account today does not mean that there will be money in your bank account tomorrow. James, familiar passage in James 4, verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." So as for what will happen tomorrow in our lives, we don't know. Right? Only God knows. But what we do know is that as long as we live in this fallen world, sickness and loss and suffering and pain are very real and present dangers. And if we're honest with ourselves, those dangers are frightening, aren't they? Since we don't know what will happen to us, I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to feel like those people in West Africa who are running for their lives from Ebola. Exposed, vulnerable, unsafe. And so what we need, as we think about the dangers that exist in this world, is a place of refuge. In a place where we can know that we're safe. In a place where we can have peace, even as all of these terrible things may happen to us or are happening to us. A place where instead of being worried and afraid, we can have great calm in our hearts. And thankfully, as Psalm 91 reminds us throughout the entirety of it, we have, as believers, we have that safe place. And we have that in the Lord, all thanks to Jesus Christ. And so as we come now to our second point on the outline, let us see that we have a place of safety in Jesus Christ. And so as you go and you look at Psalm 91 and you read throughout it, what is the overarching point of the psalm? It's not that we live in a dangerous world. The psalmist makes that clear. But what is the point? It's that as we live in this dangerous world, we have a place of safety. And again, that place of safety is found in our Lord. And as we look at the psalm, there are really three reasons. There are plenty more, but there are three reasons mentioned in the psalm why the Lord is our refuge. First of all, He is our refuge because He promises to be with us as we face these various dangers. He promises to be with us as we face these various dangers. And we're going to be kind of going all over the psalm here. So look down at verse 15 here in the middle of the verse. One simple line, yet one profound truth. I will be with him in trouble. I will be with him in trouble. Now, as we consider the dangers around us and as we actually face these dangers in our lives, it sometimes feels as if we've been abandoned. I don't know if you've experienced this. I know I have in my own life. At least I think I have. Because of the greatness of the dangers, we feel alone. We feel helpless. We feel unable to do anything about it. And it seems that as God has left us in the midst of it all, and yet as we see here, despite what may appear to be the case, the Lord is right there with us, even in the worst of times. I've given you a quote from David Dixon, an older commentator. But he says, as it is not to be expected that the man who believeth in God shall want or lack trouble, so the believer may be sure that God, who exerciseth him with trouble, shall bear him company in his trouble, and shall direct him in how to behave himself in it, and strengthen and support and comfort him under it. And so, in other words, while we may go through and consider these dangers, the Lord is with us. He is sympathetic to what we are going through. And He understands the fears and the concerns that we have. And thankfully, He doesn't just sit there and do nothing about it. He actually gives us the comfort and the strength and the peace that we need as we consider these things. We sang from Psalm 46 earlier in the service. Psalm 46 begins by saying, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is not just with us. He is with us to help us just as we need. The second reason why God is our refuge is because He promises that no matter what happens to us in this life, it is for our utmost good. It is for our utmost good. Look at verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. It seems like evil is coming upon us. But as we see the promise of God here, no evil shall come upon us. In other words, God takes the evil and works it to us for our good. You can think of Joseph, a very familiar story. And yet, what a comforting truth we're taught through it. That as Joseph looked and he saw what his brothers had done to him, yes, they meant it for evil, but he knew and it gave him comfort and peace in knowing that God meant it all for good. And you know, as believers, that's true for every single one of you. And that will always be true for every single one of you. I've given you another quote from Charles Spurgeon this time. He says, "It is impossible that any ill should happen to the man who is beloved of the Lord. The most crushing calamities can only shorten his journey and hasten him to his reward. Ill to him is no ill, but only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honor. Death is his gain. No evil, in the strict sense of the word, can happen to him. For everything is overruled for good. Happy is he who is in such a case. He is secure where others are in peril. He lives where others die." Praise the Lord for that. Then the third reason why God is our refuge is because He keeps us safe and He delivers us from the trials. He keeps us safe and He delivers us from the trials. And this theme is really scattered throughout the whole psalm. Verse 3, "Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." Verse 7, "A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Verse 10, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." Verse 14, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Now, they're precious promises, aren't they? And yet we need to be careful as we understand them, because remember, the words are not intended to be taken literally. We want to take them literally. I want to take them literally. And yet if we do, and we think sickness is not going to come into our lives, death is not going to come into our lives, any of these losses aren't going to come into our lives, then we're going to be disappointed. And you know, as we look throughout the Scriptures, God doesn't promise us the physical safety. God doesn't necessarily promise the physical deliverance here on earth. He's fully able to protect us from cancer, car accidents, etc., etc., but He doesn't promise to do those things. You can just think of what we read in the Bible. All the righteous prophets being killed. Godly Stephen being stoned. Even the Lord Jesus Himself being unjustly murdered by wicked men. Just think of what we see in the lives of others today. Our pastor has cancer today. Christians in other parts of the world are being murdered today. And so we do need to realize and keep in mind that sometimes Christians will die as a result of the dangers we face in this world. Sometimes Christians will suffer great losses as a result of the dangers we face in this world. And we need to remember that so that we're not disappointed. So the safety here is not a physical one, although it can be and it sometimes is. It is a spiritual one. And when you think of it, it is a far, far better one. And what I mean by it being a spiritual deliverance is that while we may get sick, while we may come to suffer great things in this world, even die, our souls are secure. Because as our place of safety, the Lord is keeping us to the very end. And the promises here of deliverance, they will come to pass, if not in this life, in the one to come. Notice how the psalm ends in verse 16. God says, "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Even if we die as a result of one of these calamities in this world, it will only take us all the sooner to our heavenly reward. And really, what could be better? What really could be better than that? When we look at the Scriptures and we see that not even the worst calamity can take away our heavenly reward from us. And so though we live in this dangerous world, though these dangers may come to fruition in our lives, as believers, we are safe. And we will be delivered, as we see here. And so we're told that God is our place of safety because, one, He's with us as we face these dangers, strengthening us, comforting us. Two, because He works even the worst afflictions to our ultimate good. and three, because he promises to spiritually keep us safe and deliver us eventually from all of these afflictions. And since he promises to do all of these things for us, we then have no reason to fear, and no reason to worry, and to be scared of what may happen or what is happening in our lives. As the psalmist says in verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. That is the response that comes from knowing God is your refuge. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. And then it goes on there. Because the Lord is our refuge. And you know, the Lord is our refuge only because when Jesus was on this earth, he made the Lord his refuge. You look down at verses 11 to 13. We read the words, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Now, that's true for us as believers. But does that sound familiar? Have you read that anywhere? Maybe in the New Testament? That's what Satan used when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. In Matthew 4, he quoted from these verses. And it reminds us that Jesus, while he was going through that time of testing in the wilderness, and even throughout his entire earthly life, he resisted the snares of the evil one, and he trusted entirely and perfectly in the goodness and sovereign plan of his heavenly Father, even when it meant that he had to suffer beating, mocking, crucifixion, and so on. And you see, since Jesus found his place of refuge in the Lord all the way to the cross, he then tread upon the lion and the cobra, as we see in verse 15. When he died upon the cross, he bruised the head of the serpent, just as Genesis 3:15 had promised to happen. And in doing so, he set his people, he set us free from the enemy, and he brought us to be the beloved children of God who now have this place of safety in the midst of all the danger. I told you earlier about the West Africans who are fleeing for their lives, trying to look for safety in other parts of the continent. You know, it's a very long journey from West Africa to South Africa, roughly 1,800 miles. Not everyone's going to make that journey. There may be a lot of people who want to make that journey, who want to get to that place of safety, but maybe because of their age, maybe because of their lack of finances, they're not going to be able to get there. And sadly for those people, they have no place of safety amidst all the danger. And you know, such would be the case for every single one of us, if not for the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on our behalf. Because apart from Christ, we would have no such refuge. We would have no place to go to find true, lasting peace and comfort. We would not have the promise of certain deliverance from the danger. But in Jesus, we do. And we do now, and we do tomorrow, and we will for the rest of our lives. And therefore, so we come now to our third point, find your safety in him. Find your safety in him. Now, as we just saw, as believers in Jesus, we have a refuge in God Almighty. He keeps us safe as we live in this dangerous world. That's true for all of us, every single one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus. So the question then becomes, why is it that as we consider the dangers of this world, and as we go through and deal with these dangers, we're fearful? It's not because we don't have a place of safety. We do have a place of safety. It's because we're not looking for safety in the right place. And that's what makes the difference between being fearful and having peace as we face the dangers of this life. You see, if you're like me, many of us, we respond to the dangers by functionally looking to other things to give us the sense of peace and safety. Things like the advances of modern medicine, or our insurance policies, or statistics, or what we think we can do to deal with the situation. But you know, none of those things will work. They will always leave us fearful. They will only leave us fearful. Why? Because as Psalm 91 tells us, they're not the true refuge. They're not intended to give us the peace and the comfort that we want. Only the Lord is. And so you see what the psalmist is calling us to is that our response to the dangers and to the possibility of the dangers and the fears and the stresses that come into our lives as a result of the dangers is to find our safety not in the other things that will leave us wanting, but to find it in the Lord. Because as we see, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is where we will find peace and safety and a sense of calm. So how do we do this? How do we find our safety in the Lord? Well, first of all, we need to trust in His unbreakable promises, such as the ones we've seen here this evening. We need to trust in His unbreakable promises. Look at verse 4. The end of verse 4 says, His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Some other translations say faithfulness instead of truth. That's the idea here. God is faithful to His truth. And our knowledge and our faith that He will keep these many promises that He's given to us, both here in Psalm 91 and elsewhere throughout the Scriptures, it is our shield and our buckler in this life. As any 5-year-old boy, my son Micah likes playing with toy swords. And if you've been over to our house, he might want to fight you with some toy swords. And usually what happens is that you get a toy sword too. But often we make sure that each of the fighters, if you will, also have shields. Because otherwise you will literally just get smacked around. And so you need the shield to protect you in the pretend battles. And you know, that's what God's promises are in our life as we think of all of these dangers. They are the shield, God says, to protect us from the fear so that we're not being smacked around by it. But to protect us from it and protect us from despair in this world. Psalm 119, verses 49 to 50 say, "Remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope." Verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction." What is it? "That your promise gives me life." The idea here is that it preserves my life. So at all times, but especially as we consider the dangers and as we go through the dangers, we need to be devouring the Word of God, meditating on its truths and promises, prayerfully letting them soak into the very fibers of our soul. The Bible is to be our daily spiritual bread, because if we are to have peace, if we are to feel safe in this dangerous world, there is nothing more that we need than the unchanging truth of our God and our Father ringing in our ears and guarding our hearts from the time we wake up until the time we go to bed. And then with that, secondly, we're directed in the psalm to find our safety in the Lord by diligently seeking Him in prayer. Both simple things and yet profound things. Look at verse 15 again. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him." Like the promises of God, seeking the Lord in prayer is also a means of grace for you in this world. When you get fearful, He will grant you peace through prayer. Prayer will strengthen your faith. Prayer will comfort your worried heart. Prayer may even be the means He uses to deliver you out of the dangerous situation. Psalm 50:15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." Now, it may not happen immediately and you may feel like your prayers are getting you nowhere. And yet persevere in prayer because it is truly your lifeline. It is your lifeline. You know, when Asher wasn't feeling well this week, it was pretty obvious that he was distressed by it. Very bothered by it. I'm sure you've seen this as your own kids have gotten sick or as other kids you know have gotten sick. And so, as he was quite upset by it, what did he do? He clung to his mother and he wouldn't let go. And you've seen this before. You've experienced this. Because he knows It's his mom who makes him feel that it's okay. It's his mom who comforts him. It's his mom who makes him feel better. And so too, we have that in the Lord. We have that in the Lord. As you experience the distresses and the fears from all of these dangers, cling to the Lord. Because He alone is the one who can calm that heart. And He alone is the one who can give you peace in the worst of times. And so when you're scared and when you're distressed in this dangerous world, run to your refuge. Because unlike many of the people in West Africa, you can get to your refuge immediately. You can be in your place of safety at any time, at any place. And so run to the Lord so that you too will proclaim, as the psalmist does in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God, and in Him I will trust. Yes, the world is full of dangers. Yes, the dangers are frightening, but you have a place of safety thanks to Jesus Christ. And so as you go through this dangerous world, as you live in this dangerous world, find your safety in Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we take it for granted that we can open your word and find comfort. We take it for granted that we can come to you in prayer and find comfort. Lord, how grateful we are that we have you as our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Lord, we pray that as we would live in this world and all the dangerous things that are going on around us, maybe going on in our own lives, just as we face the possibility of them coming into our own lives, or as we deal with the fear that sticks up its head all the time, and the concern and the worry, and how we feel out of control, and how we feel helpless and scared. Lord, would you help us in those times to run to you, to not look to the wrong things, to not look to ourselves, but to look to you and to look to those many promises that you've given to us, that they would preserve our life as we go through this world, that we'd even go back to Psalm 91 and we would make these words our very own and be reminded of how great it is to make you our refuge. Lord, you're our refuge whether we come to you or not. We pray that you might help us to come to you and find our safety in the one place where there actually is true and lasting safety. And so we pray, O God, that you'd forgive us for all the times we've gone elsewhere. And we pray, O God, that you'd help us to always look to you to find our safety in you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you have done all that is needed to give us this place of peace and comfort and calm. And so we praise you for this. And we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.